Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from thehammerspeaks.com, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just two Daves talking all the Steelers football you could ever want. And now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave, Season 2, Episode 102. I'm Dave Bryan from Steelers Depot. My co-host David Todd is covering the third day of the draft for ESPN 970 Radio today. Kind of got behind schedule today. He's not going to be able to join me this morning, but he'll be on hopefully with me tomorrow to recap the entire draft in its entirety. But today we're going to talk about specifically the second day of the draft and the drafting of Mike Adams in the second round out of Ohio State and the third round pick, Sean Spence, linebacker out of Miami. Filling in kind of for David today, I got Mark Cabali, an interview I did this morning with him from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review, to talk about the character issues with Mike Adams, and to talk about, kind of how we see, Sean Spence kind of fitting into things going forward here, and a lot along those lines. I don't think this is going to be a terribly long podcast here, but it'd be good to get Mark Cabali's thoughts on things, and that'll be coming up after this intro here. I asked Dave Tay Thomas this morning. He's in New York City covering the draft right now. I asked him about Sean Spence in particular, and if he looks kind of like a strong safety type of player. And Dave kind of wrote me back. He couldn't do an interview because of all the noise this morning. He says he sees a shift of Spence inside and beats out Sylvester and Foot before for long. He's a great blitzer, says Dave Tay, sort of a John Beeson type, but he needs to stay at linebacker. So he doubts that he has, let me read here, as I doubt he has the suddenness to play the zone. He says he kicks ass on plays in front of him. If they could not get Wagner in this round, he's a nice fit opposite Timmons. I think Keith Butler kind of dispelled some of those rumors, about Spence playing the Buck, although I think the Buck and the Mac are kind of becoming interchangeable type positions more than anything. I think it's kind of hard to designate really what those inside linebackers are doing right now. Butler mentioned, kind of broke this down yesterday, how really, the Buck's kind of more of a scrape guy, and, instead of fully taking on a back or a blocker in the hole, his job is kind of more to kind of stack and shed them and get to the ball carrier. So I think we're seeing kind of an evolvement of the inside linebackers in the 3-4 type system, and for us to kind of put traditional characteristics on them now, I think it's evolving, especially in these spread offenses now, and the ability of these backs to catch the ball out of backfield, and of course the hybrid tight ends now. I think that's what you're seeing, and I threw Spence out there as a strong safety type for the mere fact that if you watch him on tape, he does kind of play like Troy Polamalu. I mean, the kid plays faster than his time 40 speed. He's a missile all over the place. He makes a hell of a lot of tackles. So don't get caught up in me saying that Spence is going to be moving to strong safety. I think I've already had one commenter saying, boy, you've lost a lot of credibility saying he's going to move from linebacker to strong safety. I'm not saying that. What I was trying to get across in the post, and I'm bad about doing this at times, getting kind of putting my thoughts, that run around in my head into actual words. As many of you know, I'm far from being an accomplished writer. I'm more of a blunt blogger, is how I would define myself. But that's kind of my thoughts on him, and I'm going to ask Mark Cabali about this too, kind of this hybrid in the box, type safety slash linebacker. I think that's kind of what we see Spence in. You know, maybe this kid can bulk up and get some, what they call some cover on him, as Keith Butler says. And maybe he can go to the buck role eventually. Maybe Timmons is going to slide over into more command of this defense if Sylvester can't. Butler really didn't seem to have a real lot of confidence talking about Sylvester yesterday in his press conference. I, of course, could be reading too much into that, and I find it kind of curious how he didn't kibosh the world's move inside either when given the chance. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe the inside linebackers, in a 3-4 defense for the Steelers is kind of an evolving situation here. Maybe we're going to see more situational type things here, you know, with more of a big nickel dime type situation with some players and some sub packages, at the inside linebacker coming off and on the field, and an extra DB or an extra hybrid type of linebacker coming on the field in that situation. But anyway, that's kind of just the thoughts on that. Mike Adams, real quick, in my opinion, I asked Dave Tay about him as well this morning. He says the kid has more quit in him than the French Army, and that's a classic Dave Tay line. He says, get the concrete and mold ready to make a big bust of this guy. I'm not ready to give up on Mike Adams just yet. I just think that he has not played up to his measurables yet, and, you know, you've heard me talk about that 5-cent head of his thus far. And it is concerning, you know, to spend a second round pick on a guy like that. Top rated tackles, you know, even if they have a little bit of a character issue, you know, kind of find it hard to believe. I don't know, maybe, you know, falling down into the second round that far, you would have thought maybe somebody in need of a tackle might have given him a shot before that pick. But, you know, maybe this is the exact, you know, axis that Dayler and I have talked about in a recent podcast where the value intersects the best player available on the board. And, you know, there's extreme value there. You can't deny that. Measurables alone with this kid. I just didn't see on tape a whole, you know, he ran hot and cold a lot in my evaluation on him. Not an overly aggressive run blocker, in my opinion. He needs to develop some core strength there. You know, something that Sean Coogler is definitely going to ride this kid about. I mean, there's no doubt that this kid can become what his measurables say he is, and the kid can become, you know, what we have seen in some of his bright spots on tape. I mean, I'm not blowing this kid all the way up. It's just kind of I'm probably like you, you know, a little cautious here with what we have. So, definitely I think Kevin Colbert went out on a limb here. Good value, but, I mean, value only goes so far if a kid pans out, so we'll have to see. But enough rambling for me. Let's get to my interview this morning I had with Mark Cabali from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Appreciate you all listening. Appreciate all the tremendous feedback. Dave Tay is going to be on the show possibly next week after he gets settled back home after the draft. So, without further ado, Mark Cabali, Pittsburgh Tribune Review. Welcome back to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. My co-host David Todd's covering ESPN with ESPN Radio 970 in Pittsburgh today. Day three of the draft about to get underway, I've got Mark Cabali back with us today. Pittsburgh Tribune Review, going to talk about some of the two picks the Steelers had on day two of the draft. So, Mark, good morning, and thanks for taking time, and welcome back to the Terrible Podcast.
Anytime, Dave. Thanks for having me.
I tell you, we had quite a shocker there on day one on Thursday there with David DeCastro falling as a gift from the heavens, in my opinion, to the Steelers at 24. Then we turn around in day two and sort of got another shocker, I think. The Steelers, who I'm pretty sure, I had said in the past that I thought Mike Adams from Ohio State was going to be off the Steelers draft board. You probably did as well. But lo and behold, the Steelers took him with a 24th pick in the second round. So, give me your initial thoughts on the pick, Mark.
You know, when you look at it, Dave, it's extremely good value for the Steelers. I mean, he was projected to be a in some drafts, you know, a first-round grade. The Steelers definitely had him as a first-round grade. So I really don't think there's any question about the talent of this guy and what he can bring to the team. But I find it very, very shocking that they would even draft him just with his checkered past, because, you know, you're in the second round here, and there's value all over the place in the second round. I don't understand why you take this risk at this time. I mean, even if it might be considered a minimal risk right now, it is definitely a risk. And Kevin Colbert said just that much after his impromptu second round meeting with the media, which is I've never seen before, to basically explain why you took him. It just seems to me it was, I mean, Mike Adams could turn out to be an all-pro guard, an all-pro tackle in this league. But right now, there's a question about his background, and I don't understand why you take that chance right now, especially who was left on the board. So that's very unusual with the Steelers. I can't say really, really like what he did. He basically called up the Steelers and begged them for an interview, and the Steelers obliged. I'm not quite sure, other than maybe a little counseling, what they asked him to do. That seems like very minimal to be able to go off the board to be in the good graces again. But so me, I'll reserve the right to judge him as a player until I really see him. But to me, it's just an unusual pick because, you know, in the past, the Steelers really haven't had a ton of success in that second round. I just don't know why you take a chance right now.
You know, there, Mark, there's a report out there floating around that, you know, maybe one of the stipulations was some sort of a deferred signing bonus when it gets to that point as well, too. So, you know, maybe as far as the lines of, okay, you know, when they sign this kid, they're not going to be married. You know, they'll sign him to probably, you know, they have to sign him, I think, to a 4-year deal. But, you know, that being said, the signing bonus there, you know, the thing that would most hurt the Steelers up on, you know, cap-wise, they could probably, sounds like they could probably get out of, but still, you're still dealing with the value of that second-round pick, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, do you want to have stipulation on the 55th overall pick or whatever number it was? I mean, is he that much of a can't-miss talent for you to take any sort of risk on him? I don't think so. I mean, I think there's issues, and I think Kevin Colbert was extremely, I mean, he was still even worrisome after the pick. It makes me believe that this was not a unanimous decision within the organization. This makes me think that one or two guys fell in love with the value of the pick and felt that they could really keep him on the straight and narrow and decided to choose him. But as I said numerous times already, I don't know why you feel the need to take any sort of chance right now. I mean, we're looking like 3 strikes already, man. He's not only smoking pot, he's lying about it, and the whole Terrell Pryor incident and the tattoo stuff. So it's not what he did that's so bad. Okay, he smoked pot, everybody does, whatever everybody says. It's the fact that he made these 4 decisions back to back to back. I mean, you got the biggest interview of your life. You know the marijuana stays in your system for X amount of days, and you still decide to smoke it, knowing darn well you're going to fail this test at your biggest interview of your life. It's just poor decision after poor decision after poor decision. And that's what concerns me about him. Hey, he might be the best player in the world, but the best player in the world who gets into trouble is not very good.
How much do you think they consulted last year's first-round pick, Cameron Hayward, with Mike Adams here? You know, do you think, you know, you would think that, you know, Cameron Hayward kind of being a leader on that Buckeye team back, you know, when he played there, would have a, you know, a good grasp on him. You would think he would, you know, maybe he'd been able to kind of get to him then, or do you think that Hayward just really not in touch with Adams really this past year?
It's hard to tell. I mean, I really don't think the Steelers would have approached Cam Hayward to ask him what they thought of Mike Adams. I mean, seriously, what's Mike Adams? I mean, what's Cam Hayward really going to say? Is he going to say he's a terrible guy? Don't draft him. He's, you know, a piece of garbage. I don't think Cam Hayward's that type of guy. So I don't think the Steelers worry about that. They did their own due diligence. They felt that they did everything they needed to check his background, and they felt, I guess, some people felt that he was worth that pick right there. And it's going to be interesting to see. And another thing is, which is on the benefit of Mike Adams, is they're not going to need him right away unless there's some sort of injury to Willie Colon. So maybe they can mentor him, get him on the straight and narrow, and let him learn all at the same time. And that might be a big factor, too. This is, I think they're approaching Mike Adams not as a quick fix, week one starter, more like a guy maybe a year down the road and maybe halfway through the season, if there's another Willie Colon injury, that he'd be able to fit in there. But, you know, if everything works out, if he stays straight and narrow like they're projecting, this is a tremendous pick for the Steelers. I mean, this is a guy who's he can do everything, and this is a guy who can come in and be an anchor on the offensive line and obviously needed a lot of help. I mean, we've been saying it for years, but obviously the Steelers have said that this past 2 days with who they picked. They know that they need a lot of help here, so I don't know. I don't know about what it is, Dave.
How much influence does Art Rooney II have in that war room? Do you think, you know, it's all on Kevin Colbert there? Do you think Mike Adams is the guy that they had to get the blessing of Art Rooney II, you know, to make this selection? Or do you think, you know, they just let Kevin Colbert just pull all the punches?
There's no doubt Art Rooney had to sign off on this. There's no way. I mean, he signs off on them all. Usually the first of what Colbert and Tomlin choose. He's not meddling in anything, but if there's a final decision like that, they're definitely asking Art Rooney, and he must have felt the same way as somebody else. I mean, the way I see it, I mean, just on the outside, just, you know, just looking at it with just have a feeling, it seemed to me that Kevin Colbert wasn't too excited with this pick, and maybe Mike Tomlin overrode him. I mean, I think that's happened in the past in the second round. So, but yeah, to answer your question, Art Rooney, when it all comes down to his team, and absolutely he signed off on it. So he must have liked Mike. I mean, you got to give Mike Adams credit too. I mean, he did eat a big piece of humble pie by calling the Steelers and begging them to put him back on his board and do what he has to do. So maybe he did learn from what he did, and maybe this will turn out pretty good for the Steelers.
Yeah, it had to be an oh shit kind of moment probably for him after popping that test. And you know, I think the Steelers have a good relationship with his agent there, you know, from my understanding, all like that. But you know, looking at Adams from a tape perspective, and I don't know, I mean, you probably get to watch more OSU games than I do. I've seen some, you know, pretty good chunk of film on him. 30 games during his 4-year career at Ohio State, starting 25 of those games, including his last 21, and had 167 knockdowns and 33 touchdown resulting blocks, according to one scouting report. But sometimes, I mean, people think I'm overly down on Adams. It's just that to me he runs so hot and cold. He doesn't use his measurables, you know, to his ability. I mean, he's got a tremendous reach, a tremendous arm, wingspan on him. And to me, he doesn't, you know, technique-wise, he just doesn't put it all out there all the time. I mean, he has stopped some very good pass rushers at a time, and, you know, he displays good footwork and definitely has the agility. I just think he needs to grow into those measurables and get more core strength for starters, and then focus on the technique. Have you had a chance to watch, you know, much of him?
I mean, not a ton of him, but saying all the stuff you said about him is very well true. But what's in his favor now is now he gets to work with a professional coach in Sean Coogler. And the stuff you mentioned there are stuff that can be fixed, or they believe that can be fixed once he gets NFL-caliber coaches around him for a year. I mean, I know he's slow off the line. I know he can't handle the edge rushers as good as maybe some of the top-notch tackles in this draft. And working with Coogler, and he really believes that he'll be able to change that. And like I said back a couple minutes ago, they're not expecting him to come in right away and lock down that right tackle or left tackle spot or whatever they have planned for him. They're going to have him work with Coogler for a year and get these things worked out, then go from there. So I like those stats you threw out about the knockdowns and the touchdown resulting play blocks of him. But you know what? You compare those to David DeCastro, and those are chump change numbers, which tells you how much value they got for David DeCastro in the first round.
Absolutely, and I made kind of the analogy, and people kind of read into some of my posts of having an agenda. And listen, we don't know how this kid's going to work out, but I kind of made the analogy that Kevin Colbert traded the second, in the second round, he traded character for measurables. Would you say that's kind of a good of a analogy, or am I off base there?
Yeah, it could be. And I would once again be careful of who to put this on, of who actually made this pick. I know Kevin Colbert's the general manager, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like a guy, if you look back over the past 12 years of a Kevin Colbert draft, no matter who he was with a head coach, it doesn't seem like a guy he would take. In years past, if a guy had a marijuana problem like Adam seemed to have, and some other problems, you know, background problems, he would be off the Steelers board. He would stay off the Steelers board. There's probably, I don't care, like I made a tweet yesterday, he could have, you know, walked from Columbus to Pittsburgh on his hands and still wouldn't have put him back on the board. It wouldn't have been good enough. So I'm holding off to really say that this is Kevin Colbert's pick. But that's total speculation on my part. I'm sure at one point he had to say, okay, let's go with it. But I just have this odd feeling that it just wasn't totally, it wasn't up to him. If it was up to Kevin Colbert, I think he would have went in a different direction, because it's just the tone of his voice, just the way he went about his actions last night and talking about Mike Adams just seemed very strange to me. Like, this is a guy that, I mean, do you go out and say, I'm not going to be sold on this guy until he retires? That's not a very ringing endorsement from your GM moments after you pick a second-round pick. So I would hold off and just laying this on Kevin Colbert 100%. I'm sure he has something to do with it, but I'm saying it's less than 50%.
How much of a safety net do you think they think they had landing DeCastro in the first round, and also the possibility that Max Starks could be healthy at some point during the first part of the year should something happen here? Do you, you know, I guess what I'm saying is if you're the GM, does that kind of factor into your decision with making this pick?
I don't think so. I think they do. They just evaluate the best player on the board at the time. I don't think anything comes into a factor of what we can use and what we can bring in and where we can use them this year. They're filling their pick and their best player right now, and in regards of anything else around the organization, they don't really care, you know. So I would say no. I would say they're just evaluating Mike Adams as the best player on the board, and they chose him. I don't think that has anything to do with Max Starks, but, you know, I don't know. I would like to see them go in a different direction. I mean, there's a couple receivers out there that could have taken that part, and maybe then bring Max Starks back in September or August, and you could have filled your need that way. But they like Mike Adams. Can't really complain about that right now. I guess you can't complain, because I have been, but we'll see.
what does this mean to Jonathan Scott?
Well, I guess he's going to definitely be keep an eye on him in training camp. Just if he doesn't lock down the position as a swing tackle or possibly, you know, playing all four positions, he's definitely considered to be a guy who can not make the 53-man roster out of camp. But, you know, they like to hold on to those guys. I mean, if anything, we know over the past 2 years that they need more than just five offensive linemen when it comes to the season. So they could save some money there, but I don't think they would do anything right now. I think they're just going to see how it plays out, and if he has a good camp, keep him. But he's definitely could be a camp casualty here.
Yeah, without a doubt. And save some cap room, $2 million they could save, you know, if they did cut Jonathan Scott. Let's move on real quick. I am, of course, talking to Mark Cabali, Pittsburgh Tribune Review. You can follow Mark on Twitter, Mark Cabali _Trib. does some great work on there. One of my favorite follows, Pittsburgh media goes on Twitter there. Sean Spence in the third round, did that catch you by surprise? And the more tape I look at him, he kind of looks, you know, it's way out there to think this guy is going to move to strong safety. But what's your thoughts on Sean Spence?
I think he's a great talent, but once again, this is definitely not a pick that's going to help you at all this year. I mean, this is a guy who's going to be, I mean, you'd hate to think that they're drafting for special teams in the third round of a draft. I mean, that seems kind of crazy, but it almost seems like that's what they might have been doing here. I mean, he's a good player. I mean, he's done a ton of stuff. He had 300-some tackles at Miami and all over the place, but I don't know how that's going to translate to the pro game. I really don't. I mean, for me, I can't see him being anything more than a good special teams guy and a Larry Foote type of guy, a guy that can fill in positions when needed. So I don't know about this pick. I mean, he just seems very, very undersized for what the Steelers seem to like. I think he's going to move to the inside. I don't know. He has the talent. He has the awareness. He's just going to be a project. I mean, Keith Butler basically came out and said, "Now he's not going to be playing this year." We basically know that. So that's another one of those picks where they needed somebody at that position. He was. I think it might have been a little bit of a stretch. I think he might be more of a fourth-round type of guy. So, like I said, don't expect much out of him at anything this year. And I don't know if he's a long-term solution. Like you said, he definitely has to put on some bulk and some weight here if he wants to play inside. I know he's fast, so that's what they like from some of their inside guys. I mean, maybe he could be a nickel linebacker specialist. I can't see him being an every down back though.
And I think you hit on it there. You know, when you watch, you know, his time 40 time, you can't judge him by that because he plays so much quicker on tape. He really is a missile and reminds you of Troy Polamalu. And when I throw the comparison of strong safety out there, I'm not meaning so much of being a deep safety type of a strong safety. I mean it more as how you just put it, more of one of those hybrid in-the-box type safeties, because we've seen Troy Polamalu, especially last year, line up in the box almost like a linebacker at times. I almost wonder if, you know, depending, of course, on how quickly this kid progresses in OTAs and mini camps, I'm not expecting him to see the field either, but is this a guy that can maybe save some wear and tear on some downs? With Troy Polamalu, say a year down the line, by putting him more in the box, a sort of a special nickel dime type of hybrid safety linebacker. Does that make kind of the sense to you?
I think so. You think about it. I think it was not last year, the year before. Troy really didn't play a lot in that box. I think they reserved that for Lawrence Timmons. It didn't really work out as much as they believed. But maybe that is something going down the road where they feel that maybe instead of making Troy that freelance type of guy on a third down where he does take a beating, maybe, you know, save his body a little bit and bring in somebody like a Spence who can be able to play that role like Troy on specialty downs. I mean, that very well could happen. I mean, it's hard to project that right now because he really never played that position. I'm sure that's something that if it comes about, that they would definitely look into. So, that's a good point right there. That he could very well be. Troy Polamalu is, you know, the youngest guy in the world, and they would like to have somebody with more speed and more athletic ability on third downs to cover guys like Ray Rice out of the backfield, to cover guys like any type of gap back type of guy where James Ferrier had tons of problems last year, and I don't know how well Larry Foote will be able to do that this year. So that could be something where he could be a specialty type of guy. You know? So we'll see. I mean, like I said, I don't think we're going to see much of Sean Spence for a couple years, definitely.
And more than anything, at least what we're going to get out of this is a solid special teams guy. This guy is a missile. I really expect him to contribute on special teams, and Keith Butler said as much. But it was a little bit of a curious pick, you know, with what was on the board there, and we'll, of course, see shortly how the Steelers go in the fourth round here. But, yeah, the more you look at it, you know, I don't want to put the tab. This guy's moving to strong safety. He's going to train with Keith Butler and then go over to Carnell Lake. It was just a thought that I had, and after getting a good solid 2 hours worth of sleep last night, I kind of thought, you know, maybe this is a joker slash hybrid type kid, because he is fun to watch on tape when you look at some of these highlights on him, and you even hear the announcers say, there's Spence again. So, you know, the guy is a playmaker, is evidenced by his stats and his tackles there at Miami. And it just is an interesting pick, and it's going to be, you know, fun to kind of watch how this guy is kind of used. And we'll be relying on you, Mark, to kind of let us know during training camp and all like that what you kind of see this kid do. But I just found the pick kind of someone I think threw up Bob Sanders is a type comparison, which I thought was kind of good. Troy Polamalu, I think, who was the Miami linebacker for years, Zach Thomas type of player there. Also, I think, is a probably good comparison as well. So where do you see the Steelers going, in the first couple of rounds here in the fourth and fifth round today?
I think the third day is when they have to throw out their best available athlete on the board, go to their board, and fill up some needs. I mean, they're going to need some fresh blood. Excuse me, fresh blood at the nose tackle. We all know that. They're going to have to address that. You would think that they might possibly could get a younger quarterback. I think they're just going to identify needs right now, needs/with who's out there. Because, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round guys are guys that might be a fourth rounder on my draft board, but might be a seventh rounder on the Ravens draft board. So you basically have to stick with what you want, what you need, who you like. So you can see, I don't know if there's a ton of safeties out there really right now. I can see a corner going off the board. I can see a D tackle. I can see another linebacker. You would think they would address the running back, but you know, they feel that they can get running backs and undrafted free agents as well. So I think it's wide open right now. I don't think maybe a tight end. I don't think that's possible. Maybe a quarterback. We'll see. But they're going to have to get somebody at a cornerback spot, I think. And I think they're going to have to get somebody at nose tackle. And I think they're going to have to get another wide receiver. So I would look at those positions really heavily this afternoon.
Hey, it's impossible to really grade drafts through three rounds and all like that. But if I was to put you on the spot and say, Mark, how would you grade the first three rounds for the Steelers? What would you tell me?
Well, I'd tell you I'd grade the first round as an A+. The second round maybe is an incomplete right now. I don't know what that means. I guess the whole thing would just be an incomplete right now, because there's so many variables with the second day picks. I mean, Sean Spence could just be nothing and just go away in 3 years. Mike Adams could, you know, get caught in a marijuana, you know, drug bust. Who knows? I mean, he could be an all-pro guard. So I think we're just looking at total value of what they got. I'd probably give them a B right now. And a lot of that's because they got the cash flow with that first-round pick. I think regardless of how these grades end up, you're going to look and say, wow, I got David DeCastro, and that grade's going to go up a little bit. So right now I give it a solid B, but it can go up or down depending on that second day. And that second day is huge. I mean, it can go either way if Michael Adams is going to pan out or if not, and same goes with Spence.
All right. Mark Cabali. Mark, I appreciate you joining me on this Saturday morning, and I'll be talking to you, of course, after the draft and all like that, and appreciate you filling in for us today.
All right. Thank you.